Gather this morning at St. Luke's for our worship service. It's good to see people here in person, and I thank all of you for any responses you have given to that survey we put out about being in person. We've received a number of them, and I think it's pretty clear, and I think by next week you probably will see one space that separates the ready from the cautious, but other than that, I think we'll probably be have a lot of these things that you've been living with for the last months gone. So that really was helpful to get the feedback that we got from that. Number of things to announce. One is Easter lilies. There is a form on the table over there, a letter about if you wish to order Easter lilies. The thing that I can't tell you is just what the cost of them is. So you have two choices. One is you can just indicate that and next week find out for sure what the cost is. That's probably the best way to go. But we would love to have a number of lilies here for Easter Sunday. And also there will be an Easter breakfast. Plans are in place for that. I think pretty much that there will be rolls and egg dishes and fruit and whatever, pretty much what you're accustomed to. I know the council, Scott and others, are figuring out just exactly how that will all work, but we'll have an Easter breakfast, and that's really good news. One other announcement that I should make, and this is something that I know that word is getting around about, and that is that this week I had a confirmation of a diagnosis that I have some prostate cancer started. I suspect that the next week or so, I'll have a meeting with my doctors down in Colorado. But this is, it seems to be very early from what we know. I don't have any anxiety about it, but I'm not exactly sure what it means. So I'll be working with the doctors and with the council here to decide just how that will affect my time up here. I don't anticipate an end of it, but I do anticipate that there may be some adjustments as that schedule gets worked out. So I know that some of you knew that, and I think it's better that I just say that. Don't be anxious. I'm not anxious, but I do know that I've got some stuff to face with that. I know that the first hymn today is probably a new one. It's a very simple melody when we get past the confession and forgiveness. So just listen to it as Julie plays it the first time, and then we'll sing all three verses of this. And one other adjustment is the hymn after the sermon, we will sing only the first and last verses of that one. Somehow, when we were picking hymns, we snuck an Easter hymn in a couple of weeks early. But if we sing the first and last verses, that'll work a little better. So we begin our worship service. We'll just pause a moment because we've got more people coming in and we're delighted to see that. Come on in. And because we've got these more people in now, I'll make one announcement again that I made at the beginning, and that is that thanks for the responses to the survey that the council put out. That gave us some real good direction. And I think next week, we don't have the total decision made, but we can anticipate there will just be a division between the cautious and the ready, if you remember that survey. And so most of the little signs and divisions and whatnot will be gone by next week, and we really look forward to that. So we turn to the worship service as we have it printed in the bulletin, beginning with confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
And listen as this is played one time through before we sing. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, with steadfast love you draw us to yourself, and in mercy you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
God speaks to us in Scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. The Judeans in Babylon blamed their exile on their ancestors who had broken the covenant established at Sinai. Here the prophet looks to a day when God will make a new covenant with the people. There will be no need to teach the law because God will write it on their hearts. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law on them, within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 51 responsively. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses.
Wash me pure from my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. So you are justified when you speak, and right in your judgment.
Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb.
Indeed, you delight in truth deep within me, and in that in your voice is deep within.
Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my wickedness.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with your bountiful spirit.
The second reading is from the 5th chapter of Hebrews. Using priestly imagery and references to the Old Testament, the author explains how Christ lived in trusting obedience to God, and so God has made Christ the source of our eternal salvation. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, full to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him,
Sir, we wish to see Jesus.
Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to make a couple of brief comments on the first reading before we get to the sermon. And that is this promise of a new covenant. That's something I guess we're still waiting for. It says they will all know me from the least to the greatest. So that's kind of an eternal promise that God will keep on working and maybe someday people will get it right. And the other thing that is just very interesting here, where it says, "My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband," says the Lord. The word there for husband is one that you know in a very different context, because we usually hear it referred to as one of the false gods, Baal or Baal. That is a word that means Lord or husband in this case. And it is appropriately used also in this case for God to say, "I was their husband." But just an interesting note that it's a word that we bump into in another context than this. So grace and peace to you from God our Father. You maybe have seen the movie. It's fairly old by now. The movie Dave. Remember that, where Dave winds up being the president or playing the president? He's been a guy who looks just like the president, and so he's been as kind of a comedy act, showing up here and there to act as if he's the president, and it's always a big joke. But then when the president suffers a stroke, some of the insiders at the Capitol decide they're going to bring Dave in because they don't want to admit what's happened. And so Dave then plays the president, and nobody else knows it for the longest time except these couple of people. And toward the end of the movie, he says in a speech, "I should have remembered that this was only a temp job." And, of course, the point is that it always is, isn't it? The office of president, or the position that you have had in your work or have yet in your work or in life and everything within it, is a temp job. You can't keep your life, but you do have choices about how you invest it, how you use it. Martin Luther discovered the gospel as a powerful message about a gracious God. And so with his amazing energy, and probably some German stubbornness, he renewed the church, facing opposition from many sides. I guess we could say he devoted his life, he gave his life to that cause, connecting to the biblical message. A couple of other people, Martin Luther King Jr., devoted his life to the cause of justice, of equality for African Americans, and others, connecting that also to the biblical message. Died from an assassin's bullet, as we know, and another familiar name, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Safely in New York as the Nazis expanded their power, but he felt compelled to go back. To counter that Nazi message, he became implicated in a prophet in an attempt to assassinate Hitler, was arrested and later, near the end of the war, was executed in a concentration camp. In the 1950s, I think one of his lines from one of his books wound up being quoted more in sermons than probably any other line of that decade. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. In Bonhoeffer's case, that turned out to be literal. In Luther's case, figurative, in the sense that he was devoting his life. Today in the gospel reading, Jesus asks us to think about our lives. In one way, we're like the Greeks. Those Greeks who came to Jesus, and a kind of joke, somebody said, are they still standing outside the door waiting? Because it doesn't tell us that Jesus ever talked to them. But like those Greeks who came with one request, we would see Jesus. But seeing doesn't mean like seeing in the Eiffel Tower when you get to Paris. It means being related to, coming to understand, coming to have an experience of.
Now the green lady says, from the very grave, meaning that in our earth, many days has been. Love lives again, that with the dead has been. Love is love again.
Yeah. Before turning to the offertory again, I would just say a thank you. Thanks to God for you, and thank you for your generous response that keeps remembering the needs of the congregation and the needs of the world that we touch through our ministries in the congregation. It is a blessing to the world, a blessing to the congregation, and a thanksgiving to God, the offerings that you continually give. So we remember that. And as we do now, we sing the offertory response as the table is prepared. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup,
We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus, and let the church say amen.
Amen.
Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of freedom, and let the church say amen.
Amen.
Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the banquet for all this knowledge.
Thank you.
You have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our mental pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms with the needy, and our prayer of the Son of grateful hearts, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and